Okay, guys, I'm particularly excited about today's Shir Klali topic for a couple of reasons. One, after having done this for many years, I'm usually teaching things I've taught before. This is a topic I've never done before, so that's one good thing. Two, it's a little bit unusual. Usually during Shir Klali, I do more halachic-based sugyot. This one's kind of on the border of Agadah, more of an Agadic Shir Klali. And number three, I think it has a lot of significant ideas. I will just point out that this emerged from a chavruta I have with Mark Adler. So thank Mark for that. Okay, so let's start with a good example of where sometimes you pick out a Gemara, but if you start with the right lines, you might miss the context, which is important. You'll see in a second, because there's a pshat I want to advance. But if I pick out the right lines, it works. In the larger context, it might not work. You'll see what I mean in 1 second. Okay, let's look at a fascinating Gemara. But not just Mark, those of you in my Avot chair, we discussed this concept the other night. Okay, take a look at the first Gemara. We'll start with the fourth line. Let's see what happens if we don't have the context. Okay, Kitatanya, Shimon HaMsuni, Ba'amrila Nechemia HaMsuni. Now, this is not a famous fellow. We don't know very much about someone named Shimon HaMsuni. Hayadoresh Kol Etem Shebetorah. You definitely don't want to try this at home. He would say, every time it says the word et, I'm going to make a drasha. This is probably the worst possible word to choose if you're going to make a drasha on every time the word appears. But he says, I'm going to make a drasha every time it says et. And he says that the word et always comes to include something. Okay? So he goes to the Torah, every time it's the word et, what is being included by the word et? Now, here's an amazing thing. Kibin shiyagia le'et Hashem Elokecha tira. He arrived at a pasuk, you should fear or have reverence for the Lord your God. Now, here's something fascinating. That's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. So what does that seem to indicate? He had managed to do this successfully through the force for Chumashim. That's pretty good. There are a lot of ets out there. Okay, and he had done it successfully. Ah, oh, Noah Meltzer. Nice haircut. Although, for most guys, and she would say, your pre-haircut. Okay, your post-haircut looks like most guys' pre-haircut. Okay, so he got the Teshem El Kachatira. Okay. Jump question, you get haircut there?
I
did. Okay. Unbelievable. You let the guys get haircuts, they look the same as they did before. Unbelievable. Okay. He got the Shema Kachatira. P-Resh. He separated. Namely, he was nervous to make a drasha. What do you say, guys? Why did he not want to make a drasha on Et Hashem Lokecha Tira? Have reverence for God? Well, don't forget, what does he do every time he sees the word Et? He includes something. What's he thinking? What am I include together with God? It doesn't seem appropriate. So I'm going to stop right here. Okay, I made it through the safe environment, whatever parak, and now I'm backing off. Amrulo Tami Dov. So his students say to him, Rebbe, our teacher, Kol Etim Shadarashta, what about all those drasha you did till now? Matelem, what about the 4,000 drasha you said earlier in the Torah? Amrulahem, Keshem Shekibalti Schar Al Hadrisha, just like I received reward for all those drashot, Kach Ani Mikabel Schar Al HaPrisha. I now get reward for? Meaning I'm doing the right thing each time. I was right till now to make an Edrasha, but now that I've hit this at the Shemaka Khatira, I will get Schar for backing off. Okay, Amr Achabar Bikiva Vidrash, or Bikiva shows up and says, Et Hashem El Kachatira L'Rabo Talmid HaChachamim. Now, I find this already educationally fascinating. Because Rabbi Kiva was willing to do what? To say that Ed can include something. He's willing to put fear of scholars or reverence for scholars together with Hashem. But apparently Shimon HaMsuni was not willing to do so. So already I think you have this educational debate, religious debate, like, is that an appropriate thing to say or not? Where Rabbi Kiva apparently thinks it's okay, go ahead with your project, just say L'Rabo Talmid HaChachamim, and Shimon HaMsuni thinks it's not okay. Okay, so ready, one question on the board I want to raise is just understanding that debate. Right? Should we be comfortable sneaking Talmid HaChachamim into that pasuk? Quincy.
Could you tell me that the last line is like a little bit sarcastic? He's like trying to play off the fact that he, as Talmid Chacham, is not making the drasha. Oh, look, I'm going to make a drasha about him.
I'm going to change your point a little bit and leave out the sarcasm if that's okay. Okay, let's go through the minute. Let me see where I found this. Where was it? Everyone go to source 6. Okay, this is why, guys, life is easy these days in the world of the internet and computers. Same as a program called the Shoot Bar Ilan. You've heard of it? Which has a tremendous amount of Torah resources. Okay, so Alicia. There's on the beamer right here. Alicia, is there any particular reason you're sitting in the bleachers? What's going on over there? Okay, that was a very good answer, actually. Okay, fine. Okay. Okay, that was very good. What are you worth me doing in the Ben Ish Chai section? What? For life or just for this year? Iron Northman, what are you doing in the Ben Ish Chai section or the bleachers? Okay, there's a seat right next to him, no?
There's a chair.
Ah, okay. All right, so in any case, so on the Bar-Ilan Pub, there's a lot of Torah resources. So on Shas, there's something called the Daf al-Daf. I have to find who did it, because he did a real favor. He goes to like obscure svarim no one would ever look at and quotes them. Okay, so sometimes I find some just because it's in the Daf al-Daf. So look at this. I have no idea where he got this from. Uvekovitz kerem Shlomo, mevi agonu afla, yeish lefarish masham ekshem shiki balti. Delami yekabela prisham lo yadam al rabot, vim yadala mimna. The two ekshibitos for David the first route to the Shem, v'ayimash katay makoncher, okay, here's the part I wanted, v'yeish lomar diyada lerabo tamid hachamim. Shimon HaMsuni knew, it's not that he didn't think of Rabbi Kiva's drasha. Of course he thought of it. And maybe, here's the interesting thing. I want to read it that Shimon HaMsuni thinks it's not an appropriate drasha. You can't compare it when you come to God. That's not appropriate. But he wants to say, he realized that was actually correct. Look what he does. Ah, yadal rabot tamidacham, ella shalo ratzal ligalot. Lo ratzal ligalot? He didn't want to? Reveal it. Why not? Shesavar shalo yishmu'ulo. Shelichvod atzmo doresh. I thought that was a great insight. What's the problem, guys? I have this problem myself. Okay, yeah?
If you said, oh, it's the fear of the honor of the like talking about yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I believe, again, I admit I have a more, I'm more into autonomy than the average rabbi. Right? So I'm not such an authoritarian rabbi. But I do think there's certain basic respect you need for Talmid Chachamim. But I find I can never give a sicha about it. Okay, why can't I give a sicha about it? Because it sounds a little self-serving, right? If I get up and say, you guys really should have more respect for Rabbeim, right? So that, it's hard to give such a sicha, right? So I'm not exactly, I've never been sure like how to overcome that problem. I guess maybe non-Rabbeim should give sichot about respect for Rabbeim. But, what? Okay, but in any case, I thought that was an interesting idea. So one take, it's quite a little bit your point, though it takes in a different direction. Yeah. One take on Shimon HaMsuni, again, we have two takes in. One take was, he just didn't think this drasha worked at all. Don't say it, it's religiously inappropriate. Maybe actually what it was religiously inappropriate, he just says, how do I get up and say, have reverence for Tamid HaChamim? I'll just say one thing, he makes it a little bit more pragmatic. Because how did he say it? Savar shelu yishmu'ulo. Okay, what's his concern? No one's going to listen to him. Oh, sure, the rabbis still have respect for rabbis. I'm not even worried about whether people listen. I just feel funny doing it. I feel like it's self-serving. Okay, yeah, who would I end up? Leave?
So why then would he, like, really stop the
whole project? That's my question. Next question. Here we go. Excellent, leave. Okay, I'm sorry if I cut you off in the middle there. Okay, I know I said I'd stop doing that, but I guess I'm not stopping you doing that. Okay, but here's what I find. There's three really interesting things about this sugya. You're very excited. One is what I just said. Is it appropriate to add to Midrash? Two, what did Shimon ben HaMsuni do when things stopped working? And I think there are two ways to take it, right? One way to take it is, oh, if I can't answer this pasuk, I have to throw out my entire project. All those 4,000 drashot I said till now are apparently wrong. The other way to take it is, no, I leave this as a question. Right? Ah, I had a good method. And some of you probably all heard this from me because I feel very strongly about it. If you have a great theory and there's one question it can't solve, I don't see that as a reason to throw out the theory. I think in a lot of aspects of life, whether it's literature or science, right? Again, math's a little different, but I think, okay, this is the best thing we have. There's one thing it can't cover. So let's leave that as a question rather than throwing out the whole thing. Right? So I don't know if you guys are sympathetic to me, but I would like to say that the right move at this point would be not to throw out the theory. Keep the theory with one problem. Okay? So you're raising your hand, okay, great. Okay, boss? Okay. Now, I'm going to show you, though, where I might be in trouble and will try to save me at the end of the day. Okay? Because I've thought that for years because I was always lazy. I never looked at the entire context of the Gemara. But if you look at the entire context, it seems like I'm totally wrong. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of Pesachim there. The beginning of Pesachim is describing a Shor HaNiskal. A shor that killed somebody, and we put it to death for killing somebody. It's a dangerous ox, and you're not supposed to get any benefit from it. Like we have we kind of recoil from this ox. This ox killed a person, so shor haniskal is what's called asur bahana. Okay, so let's see the pasuk. Ubal ashor naki. What does that teach you? Lahanat oro hudata. It teaches you not only can't you eat the meat, you can't even get benefit from oro, the skin. Very good. V'itzrich, and you need that pasuk. Sag dachmina lo yochal b'sarokhtiv. Ah, what does the pasuk prohibit? Only eat the meat, b'saro in, or olo, kamash mulan. Okay, so again, you don't need to know any of the details, but we're saying that ubala sharnaki teaches me that you can't even get benefit from the skin of a shor hadisko. We really want to just be revolted by an ox that killed somebody. Okay, next. Wait, ulahanach tonight, the mapki lehaikor ledrasha achrina. But apparently there were some tanim who already used balasharnaki, ledrasha achrina, for a different drasha. Remember, there's a rule, you're not supposed to use the same words for two drashot. So if balasharnaki is the source of the isser hana'ah of a sharniskal, what will you do about those people who already used that pasuk for something else? Lachatzi kofu d'mev ladot, hanot oro minalu. Okay, what's that, guys? Hanot oro minalu? They will have no source now for hana of the skin. Nafklu mi et pisaro et hatafel l'bisaro. No, they can get it from et pisaro. Okay, you don't need all the details here. But what do you have now? Everybody agrees that you can't get hana from the skin, either based on balash or naki, or based on et pisaro. Now you might notice already that et pisaro is a Shimon Amsuni kind of drasha. It's the same to claim that et includes something, right? So bisaro is just the basar, and et includes the skin. Ah, very good. The idach, what about the other guy? It's what I call like Talmudic tennis match. We keep going back and forth, right? So we just have the return of serve, right? I get it from et bisaro. So when it says the idach, what do we want to know? Well, the other guy, what does he do with et bisaro? Ah. So Mark, this is associate, we should have done the whole context. Et lo darish. What's the answer? He doesn't darshan et, and then it quotes this story. Wait, how will this story support not darshaning et? It supports it really only if he threw it all out. Everyone see that? Okay, I'm sure everyone gets that point. Because again, I am very adamant that a better reading would be, why do you have to throw out your whole theory? Because you have one case you struggle with. I don't think that should be the case. I have to admit, I want to be honest as possible. The larger context of Gemara seems to prove me wrong. Right, because it sounds like we're trying to come up with, oh, here's why somebody wouldn't darshan et. Why are they not darshan et? Because of this Shimon Hamsuni story. So it sounds like Shimon must have thrown out his theory, and therefore we don't have to make a drush every time it says that. So I think comes in 1 second, and when we get to the third issue, one issue was this educational debate, can you include Talmid Chachamim? Second issue, what is Shimon Hamsuni's move at this point? Does he indeed trash the entire theory? Or does he say, I live with a question? Okay, boss. That's very interesting. Okay, meaning I was reading as machlok and Rabbi Akiva and Shimon, but if you say once Rabbi Akiva said it, it kind of that was the consensus, then that wouldn't work, right? But you're right, though. I guess that Gemara shows that Shimon Amsuni still kept up his opposition, and therefore the et becomes questioned. Okay, who else? Saul? Saul, you raising your hand?
Yeah. Which book of the Torah is this? Is this
quote
from?
Et HaShem Lekach.
No, the one about
the Mishpatim, Shmot. That was a clever point. You're saying, what if this was later?
Because it was after.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. It's in Shmot. Mati. Mati, did you think for 2 seconds?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Just about. Is it true to say that his theory broke down? Because he chose not to give the answer.
Is there a strong argument? It doesn't sound like his theory has to break down.
Yeah.
But the larger context implies that it does.
I understand. I'm saying you're arguing about like whether or not like he should like discover something else. That it wouldn't even occur because he's not thinking. Oh no, I've got no explanation. He's just thinking I shouldn't be giving an explanation.
Okay, but look, guys. You're right. Look at Rashi, guys, and it's clear why Rashi did this. Okay, look at Rashi on the second line. Okay? You see the second line of Rashi, guys, in source 2? Kivin shigil teshem mekachatira, Amar, he said, ma arbe lira imo. What could I increase to have Yira together with God? And therefore, look what he does now. Piresh mi kulan. He separated from all of them. The chazar bo mi kol ribuin shadarash. So Rashi wants to claim, clearly, that what did he retract from? The entire endeavor. Right, and it's clear why did Rashi say that? Because of the larger context of the Gemara. Right, so yeah, you can't really fold Rashi. So I agree with you. I still think logically the other thing should be true. And I'm going to see, can I overcome this problem that, again, if you just said the Shimon Hamsuni quote, it works, Mati.
Yeah.
But in the larger context, it doesn't seem to work. Okay, did someone else have a hand? Yeah.
Is it true that
Quincy, is that you?
Well, yeah, what's the problem? It has to be in order. I don't really understand why we're taking
chronological. Look, if I had a... I admit, it's not the only way to do it, but most people never project, oh, you go in chronological order, no? You want to do that? Let's say, I don't know. Oh, Eli, you missed it. While you're waiting, JoJo became the star of Yeshiva. Okay? Yeah. We'll see what happens now you're back. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of tension now in Syria and Brooklyn. Okay. But let's say JoJo goes on. He wants to do a study. He needs to do a study every time the word, I don't know, Bahashemesh appears in Tanakh. Okay? Let's say we find six times in Chumash. Wouldn't the natural move be, oh, here it is in Breishit, here it is in the end of Breishit, here it is in Shmot. That's how most people would proceed, no?
Could be natural, but I just think it just not necessarily.
Okay, look, let's say this. The fact that you could have done otherwise, that's interesting. That does change things, actually. I'm sorry, let me get back to Quincy's point, and I'll raise a third question. Okay, the third thing I want to discuss beyond the first two topics is it really true that there were no trouble in Psukim before... For example, what if I tell you that earlier in Sefer Devarim it says, Vahavta et Hashem Elokecha? So they have the same problem. Can I increase something else to get it together with love of God? Now, I have to admit, I didn't really think about this problem till now. The answer till now, many Mepharshim asked that question, but Quincy has a very interesting answer. Quincy, it's hard to figure out what your Sefer name is going to be. I don't know where to go with Quincy. Right there. Okay, fine. So in the Divrei Malkiel, it says that the question is based on erroneous assumption. The question is based on the assumption that he was doing the psukim in order. Maybe he wasn't going in order. So if he wasn't going in order, he could have gotten to it, the Shema Chatira, before he got to the Hafta the Shema Lekach.
I actually think that it would make more sense to start with all the easy psukim first, and oh, now you get to the hard one.
Okay.
And it makes sense that you would stop there. Struggle.
Okay. Well, how does that affect the question I just asked, though?
Because he didn't go in order, so...
No, but would he have gotten to Avad Hashem first or Yerud Hashem first?
But it doesn't matter. They would have been in the hard group of things, so...
Okay, but it's still striking that he highlights the Yerud Hashem Pasuk as problematic and doesn't highlight the Avad Hashem Pasuk. So I just want to raise one last question, guys, and we'll see if you have suggestions. Is there a reason why love of God would be less troubling than reverence or fear of God? That's quite interesting. Okay, again, think about it experientially, psychologically. Okay, we got our three topics. So that's why I'm into this topic. Again, one, the debate, should you include Talmid Chachamim? Number two, did Shimon of Suni give up on the whole project? Number three, is there a reason why this pasuk troubled him more than other parallel psukim, especially the one about love of God? Yeah.
I think it's kind of where he was going, but like, let's just say he didn't throw the entire project.
Hmm?
Why does it sound like he...
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it doesn't really spell out what he did at this point.
The guy sounds like he stopped, but he separated himself from the project.
Right, unless, you're right, your reading is a simple reading, but maybe I'll force a little bit and say, he separated from darshaning this pasuk. But maybe at that point he then proceeded with the endeavor. Okay, anybody else with a comment? Oh, Joe, you want to say something or no?
Well, I was just going to say... Like, to associate God with fear over love, or like the one saying no, it's just not like a.
Why is it easy to do that with love than with fear? Let's hear.
Well, because if you're like, you know, serving a shot of love, it's much better, you know, perspective than we do in fear. It's like.
Okay, well, first of all, what's the problem here, guys? We have to figure out which fear we're talking about, right? There's, of course, the famous split. Thank God English is a lot of words, very helpful English. Okay, we can talk about reverence and awe and fear of punishment. Now, obviously, reverence and awe is not like fear of punishment. Like if... who should we go with over here? All right. Kobe, what music do you listen to?
Pop.
Okay, like who?
Taylor Swift.
Sure. Fine. Okay, so let's say, you know, Kobe goes to Holy Bagel one day, and Taylor Swift is standing there waiting for her coffee. Okay, so he gets all nervous. Okay? He gets a little nervous, he's not sure what to say to her. Okay, what? Okay, but it's clear he is not nervous because he thinks, like, she's going to punish him. It's like, what exactly is she going to send him to jail? She's going to punch him? No, he's nervous because he has tremendous awe and reverence. Right, so that's a very different experience. So when we say at the Shem Lekachatira, and we have this debate whether to include scholars or not, are we talking about reverence or are we talking about fear of punishment? Those are two totally separate things. So let's look at one, guys, one Marsha. Okay, we'll see the first answer on the board, source 3. Remember, guys, the Marsha is the most common person to comment on Agadot. So when we're in Agadot, I always go to the Marsha. He's in the back of a big Gemara. Says the Marsha, Kivin Shigil Tashem Lekachatira Piresh, Ula Elmine. Okay, everyone should know that from Gemara or Tosva. What's Ula Elmine? earlier, Bahu Parshata, Kishigia Levahafta Deshem Elokecha. So Quincy noticed he does assume he's going in order. Lo Piresh, why didn't he separate there? He's willing, he was also willing to equate love of the scholar with love of God. Now this is very interesting because we all agree that reverence is more noble and more idealistic than fear of punishment. But he's going to say it makes better sense here if I go with fear of punishment. Why? There you go. You want to claim, guys? I could have reverence for a scholar, and I could love a scholar, but why would I have fear of punishment for the scholar? Like, let's say, no problem. Let's say you're the rabbi of the shul, right? It could be that, you know, the president of the shul has more impact, ultimately, or could do more harm to you than the rabbi, right? So there might be a lot of scenarios where the rabbi is an influential figure, but not necessarily a powerful figure. Right, and I say, in short, I don't know, what can you do? You can say, we'll give you maftir yona. I don't know if that really counts as scharva onesh. Right? And even then, a lot of shoals, the shoal wouldn't listen to what he says, we'll give him maftir yona. So he wants to claim, it becomes a little bit less about, inappropriateness. It's just wrong. Right? If Yirat Hashem is year of scharva onesh, he says, there's no scharva onesh with a rabbi, and that's why it doesn't apply. Okay, Harrison. Why does that mean an increase?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I meant to look into it, but I just didn't get to it. Yeah.
Why does, the gut reaction to, Talmud Chacham, both Yira and Kalava, why can't it be the Torah? Why does that have to be a Talmud
Chacham? I was going to save that for the end. Okay, but as you guys know, I am willing to go out of order, even to give up on my concluding punch, because someone said it right now. Okay, so I like Shira to be a little more vibrant. You see, guys, we get the knowledge. Some professors will come, the lecture is like a package lecture. Even if you make a Nobel Prize-worthy comment, the lecture is just going to continue. It's like they have a force field. It's going to bounce off. Okay, and other professors will actually take your comment and run with it. So I always like the second model better, so I try to do that. If you make a comment, even if I haven't thought about it before, let's go and run with it. So let's go and run with what Mark and Quincy wanted to say. Okay, so everybody please go to the second page. Okay, he's going to try to explain Rabbi Akiva now. Now, we're in source 8. Now, there's a good rule also. I usually don't do this. I figure if the Marsha has a pshat, he'll already say it in one second, that's good enough. Somehow, I don't remember why. Oh, I saw it quoted somewhere. I looked at the Marsha. This Gemara about Shimon, I'm assuming, appears in four places. So we started with Pesachim. We saw the Marsha's comment on Pesachim. That was the comment we just made about Schar Ba'onesh. But the Marsha comes back to it in Kiddushin and makes a different point. I don't know why he saved one for Kiddushin, but that's what he does. So we go to Kiddushin. You see where it says Reish Ayin Kuf in the third line? Rabbi Akiva Loya Chash Bazeh. What's to be Chash, guys? He wasn't concerned, like a Chashash. Why was he not concerned? Meaning, Shimon Amsun was all concerned about including a Talmud Chacham. Mila Rabo Talmud Chacham. Shegam Ze Bichlal Kavod Shamayim V'Torato. Sheheim Lom Dimota. Perfect. What does he say? Because when I'm respecting the scholar in a certain sense, that is not in conflict to respect for God, because I'm respecting the scholar qua somebody who is very involved and knowledgeable about God's Torah. Therefore, it's not like a separate, responsibility that should be viewed as conflict. It is stems almost. It almost goes together naturally. But if you really have reverence for God and reverence for God's Torah, so I'll also have reverence for those who excel at God's Torah. Okay, so one way of taking the Marsha, one way of taking Rabbi Akiva, it's not that he thinks the Talmud Chacham is worthy of comparison to God. He just says they actually go together. Right? That's part of my reverence for God. One more thing, guys. And here is something I really want to start doing more. Okay, if any of you stay Shanaben next year, here is a good choice for you. Should I make guys have a weekly chavrut for me? There's something I've never done, which I'd like to do. I've never just gone through a parak of Yerushalmi straight. Because we always learn Bavli, and we only look up Yerushalmi if we have something we know is there. That's what we take a look at. I'm just curious what would it feel like to just learn Yerushalmi. Okay, so anyone stationed about it, you have that offer, you could be my Yerushalmi Chavruta. Okay, so look at source 11. Now, one of the interesting is that the Yerushalmi, people often assume it will be just another version of the Bavli. But very often it can be quite different. Look at this Yerushalmi, guys. Okay, Nechemia Emsuni, you'll see a technical difference and a huge idea difference. This fellow, notice it's the same name. Wait, was that the second name in Wait, we had Shimon and then we had... No, but we had a second name, no? Shimon or... Nehemiah, yeah, Nehemiah was the second name. Nehemiah Msuni Shimei should be Kiv Esrim V'shtayim Shana. Okay, notice already, it's setting up like a different relationship. It sounds like Nehemiah Msuni was the student who was apprenticing with Rabbi Kiva for 22 years. Okay, V'lamdu Etim V'gamin Ribuyin Achin V'rakim Yutin. So Harrison, this would be where to do the research. He said the word Et and the word Gam increase, the word Ach and the word Rak decrease. And Harrison, your question's very, very good because three of the four seem to make obvious sense, but not Et, right? Obviously, Gam is an increase word. Okay, but that Ed is the word of increase is not obvious at all. But fine, that's what Rabbi Kiva taught him. Look what happens now. Wait, what about? So the student asks, what about Hashem Chetira? Namely, what's he challenging Rabbi Kiva? How are you going to increase that? Amrlei, look what he answered. Oto vetorato. So notice the Yushalmi's version, it doesn't even mention the Talmud Chacham. I mean, we in the Marsha, Talmud Chacham, we tried to say was about the Torah. The Yushalmi just gets there directly, right? So maybe those of us that don't like the idea that you include a Talmud Chacham in this, this is your Yushalmi. This is great. The Yushalmi does want to find some drashat et, but it refuses to do the Talmud Chacham. It says, "Oh, what could I have reverence to together with God? God and the Torah. That works. That does not set up a human being in any inappropriate fashion, and that's the way to get there." Okay. Now comments on this approach. Yeah, or anything, yeah.
Does this make you highlight the kind of cultural difference between like the people like in Israel back in Babel, where it was like in Babel you would like put the rabbis on a really high pedestal while like in your Shas?
Look, I'd have to think through Shas to see if that works or not, but I will just point out, like, sometimes you could do something based on like a larger cultural universe, but I wouldn't always say that. Like, you could have someone in a Beit Midrash who's kind of counterculture, right? Like, we don't have any volleyball anime guys this year. What's a good? What's, oh, here we go. Art to Dark. Here we go. Okay, most of you spend your free time watching Netflix, you know, Breaking Bad or things like that. And Art Dark is watching, you know, volleyball anime, right? So he is not subject to the larger culture, right? He's a counterculture figure. Okay, what?
Not volleyball anime, but a love anime.
Oh, okay, sorry. He's just watching anime. How do you? What? What's it called? Rob, romantic comedy anime? Oh, that's worse. Okay. All right, how do you like go between like reading Aristotle and Tanya and watching rom-com anime? All right, Rafi.
Could you plug in like October Yer Shemayim, like the year of discussion, like.
Well, isn't Yer Shemayim there just fear of God? So why would it impact on this?
We're more hesitant to like include something else within this fear of God. Like fear is something that's more in control versus like Abba.
You would say it's not an accident that we call it Yer Shemayim, not Abba Shemayim. Is that what you're saying? That is interesting, but not, that is a very interesting linguistic point, but not for us now. Quincy, is this your third or fourth comment, Quincy?
So I still have this. What do
we do now? That was a very clever response. That was very good. Yeah.
So what do we do now? Because we like the Yerushalmi, but of course we cost them by the battery.
Wait, hang in there. Okay, well, guys, tell me why Quincy's statement is not really relevant here. Yeah, I don't believe this is a case for Psak, right? You don't have to look this up in Shulchan Aruch. Do we go with the Bavli or the Yerushalmi? Guys, one of the nice things about Jewish philosophy is in a certain sense it's more restricted than Halakha, but in a certain sense it's total freedom. Because you might say we have certain core beliefs that really matter, let's say the divinity of the Torah, but once you get beyond those core beliefs, there's no need to paskin. Like, we're going to have a panel one day, good coming news, guys. Coming trash, not this Sunday, but we'll have a panel one day about how divine providence works. We don't have to paskin that one. Oh, the Pesach is, this is how divine providence works. Right? There could be different approaches. You could identify with one or another. So here, I see no reason to paskin this question. Right? You could say, I identify with Yerushalmi. That's great.
Thank you. Try to
well, didn't the Marsha make a move in that direction already? Okay, guys, remember what we have here? The Yushalmi goes straight to Torah. The Marsha says, even the Bavli that talks about Talmud Chacham, it's really Talmud Chacham as far as they represent Torah. Right? So the Marsha does have the person there, but he kind of gets, there's definitely a move towards the Yushalmi there in the Marsha. Yeah, leave. This is number three or two?
Two.
Okay.
I still don't understand, even if you're to say, oh, like a pastor. that being the year the Hashanah. So the Torah, it's a, you may respect her values, but it's still not.
Look, if the Torah is an expression of divine will, so then it's easier to identify somebody with their Torah.
No, I'm saying, how could it be the same as your Shemai?
Look, I don't know if it has to be the same, but the point is, it's not religiously problematic to have the et. Okay, you know what, guys? I'll do an example, which you guys might agree. Okay, let's try this. I hope I'm remembering this correctly. Who in the room is the oldest child in their family? Okay, so did you guys, this is something you always get excited about. Did you ever learn halacha about kavod applying to Acha Gadol?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. What?
In theory, but never actually happened.
Okay, there you go. Okay. It was just going to be like a cheap line about his girlfriend. It wasn't worth it. Okay, so if I recall correctly, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, I think where it comes from is the pasuk says, "Kabeid et avicha vet imecha." Am I right? And it says, "Et l'rabot achicha gadol." Like, do you remember that? I'm pretty sure that's what the drasha is. So notice, it's kind of, it's the Shimon Am Sunni Rabbi Kiva methodology that Ed comes to include. And what's the claim? Oh, Kabeid et avicha vet imecha, what does it come to include? Your older brother. Okay, Akiva Nelson is right. This is not practiced very much at home. Okay, so now, but I would like to argue, even after that drasha, you're not really saying that your big brother merits the same respect as parents, just some kind of respect, right? I don't think there's any halacha like, don't sit in your big brother's chair, right? There's no halacha like that, but there is halacha, don't sit in your parents' chair. So maybe when we do the etz, we don't have to make an absolute equation. We should say that somehow, on some lower scale, we have this as well. But I could still argue that I'm reluctant to do that for a Talmud Chacham and God. Maybe even if it's not on the same scale, there's still something dangerous about that, and therefore I'm resistant. Okay, but I'm not sure the et has to mean that they're exactly the same. Gabriel.
Is et coming to include something that different than
other
words we have in
the Torah? You mean like gum? Like gum, or like what?
Or like hakol.
Okay, that's good. Look, it's a good question. We're not for us right now. No, Gabriel's right, right? Usually that's more like we're reading a Mishnah, though, not the Pesukim. Right? You're reading a Mishnah. The Mishnah says kol or hakol, and we'll say, oh, what are you trying to include by using that phraseology? Okay, but that's not for us right now. Rafi.
Doesn't this show, like, that we did throw out that theory?
That we did throw it out?
We did throw out that theory. Because it's, like, that can come back to this.
No, but achicha gadol, we do use it.
Exactly.
That's an interesting question. Okay, maybe we should look through. Okay, that's the problem, guys. As I always say, when you want to investigate a word, you don't want the word to be et. Okay, but that would be an interesting question. How many times do we still use the et? And if we are still using it, maybe that's actually a proof that we do retain. Very good, Rafi. That's a sharp point. Okay, let me show you one last thing, guys. Okay, and then I'll take more comments. So if we could go, please. Actually, two more things before I take comments. Let's go to, where is it? I want... source 7. Okay, guys, just one thing. When you, I think I've said this before. When you're learning the agadic sections of Shas, the non-legal portions, so the svarim you use are different. Like, anyone brachot have a question, you might say, first I'll try the Rishonim, right? I'll look in Tosfot. I'll look in the Rush. I'll look in the Rashba, right? Or I'll go to the Achronim. I'll look in the Pnei Yeshua or the Tzlach. Okay, but often in agadita, it's a totally different list. So I'll look in the Marsha first. And there's a sefer called Ein Yaakov, everyone should be aware of. A man named Rav Yaakov Ibn Chabib collected all the agadic sections of Shas. And it has its own commentaries. So you notice that when I put the riff in source 10, you notice I put in brackets Ein Yaakov, because it's not the same riff. This is not the riff in the back of the Gemara. This is a man named, this is good for all the Syrians here. A man named Rabbi Yoshio Pinto, who was the chief rabbi of Damascus in the 1600s. He happens to have the same acronym as Rav Yitzchak Alfasi. But if you ever see the riff in the Agadic section, it is Rav Yoshio Pinto. And the Iyun Yaakov is a man named Rav Yaakov Reicher. Okay, so look at source 7. Now, he's also curious about why this one was so problematic. At the Shem HaKachatira. V'liner devadai, afagaf de darshinan et. Even if we do make et drashot, mikol makom, eino muchrach. Keyword, guys, eino muchrach. It's not of necessity, you're not forced to say, Sheba l'rabot shum davar. This makes a lot more sense to me. Not every et in Chumash comes l'rabot. Uchidamatzinu b'perek bet avodazara, et hifsikanyan. Now, I admit, guys, I was a little bit lazy, I apologize. I didn't look up the example. But clearly what's happening there, the Gemara is using the word et, not as a reboot. Just what does it sound like? Hifsi kanyan? What does Ed do there? It's some kind of break. Ed creates some kind of interruption. So without getting to details, really, you should look up that Gemara of Avodah Zarah, but clearly, not every Ed in the history of Judaism has to be a Ribui, which maybe makes his project a little bit easier, right? Not every Ed is a Ribui. Okay, here we go. Aval Teshemaka Chetira, but what about this Pasuk? So why doesn't he just say, Ed's not a Ribui? Shu Tchilat Anyan V'Resha Dekra. What does it mean that it's Resha Dekra? It's the beginning of the Pasuk. So again, I didn't do too much research, but apparently, every time Ed has another purpose, its purpose is only served if in the middle of the Pasuk. Let's say Ed is meant to create a break. That makes more sense in the middle of the Pasuk. So he wants to claim, woe was Shimon HaMsuni's limitation. Every Ed that starts a thought, that has to be a Ribui. So notice, some of our problems would fall away. How about our question from the Hafta? Et Hashem Elokecha. Since Et doesn't start the Pasuk, he could say, so we don't have to come to some deep difference between Ava and Yira. Okay, so let me just sum it up, because we've done a lot of ideas. Take comments, and I'll get to the last two ideas. Okay, what have we done so far? Okay, first we had, what's this debate about? How do we understand Shimon? How do we understand Rabbi Akiva? Okay, Shimon could say that I don't think it's appropriate to include Talmid HaChachamim. Okay, that was one approach. Wait, we had another approach to Shimon. Where was that? The Daf al Daf. What did Daf al Daf claim? Shimon even thought it was a good drasha. Why couldn't he say it? Because it would be self-serving, right? They'll reject it because, Talmid Chacham gets up and talks about Kavod for a Talmid Chacham. So that's two ways of taking Shimon, right? He objects inherently, or he objects because it won't work, it won't be effective. How do we take Rabbi Akiva? Either Rabbi Akiva doesn't have a problem with equating Talmid Chacham in this context, or what was the Marsha's take in Rabbi Akiva? When you're having respect for the Chacham, it's really respect for the Torah, and Yushalmi just did away with Talmud Chacham ultimately. Yushalmi did it in a much more straightforward fashion. Right? The Ed is to include Torah, you have respect for God and His Torah. You're not bringing in human beings into the mix, which I'll just say as an aside, I think is an important point in general. Okay, I think every society needs its heroes, and religious society has rabbinic heroes too, nothing wrong with that. But again, we always have to be very careful that rabbinic heroes remain human beings, right? They make mistakes, and we should be aware of that, and any notion that that can't happen, I think, is ultimately dangerous. Okay, so in any case, so that's that debate. Then we got to, why was it Teshem HaKatira, the first pasuk that bothered him, assuming Quincy's wrong, and assuming that they actually went in order. So we already had a couple approaches to that. Okay, one approach, the Marsha says, because love and reverence could apply to a person, but fear of punishment wouldn't apply to another Chacham. That was his approach. We now have the Iyun Yaakov saying, wait, it was never true that every et has to be a Ribui. Only the ets that are at the beginning of a verse. And that's why the Shemilka Chatira is different from the Hafta to Shemilka. Okay, any question we've done till now? Okay, Mark, this might be number three, but okay.
Is this the biggest zero in the Marsha between it? What he's saying, Safa was saying, Kedushin. Safa is saying it's possible to equate like fear of Talamacha to like a fear of Hashem.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kedushin is saying it's possible because, it leads to.
Look, you're right. I'll just say one thing. In Psachim, he's explaining Shimon HaMsuni, and in Kiddushin, he's explaining Rabbi Akiva. Right? So I think you could work that. Rafi, this is number three again. You have some dominant forces here.
What's the context that we see the same story like Brachos and other places?
Okay.
You
guys are catching me out and not doing my homework once again. Okay, it's true. We should look up all four so good, Rafi. But I did not do so. You see, that might make it easier in terms of my issue?
Yeah, so we're trying to, that maybe it's only in the context of throwing out.
Okay, so that actually would be very helpful, because let's go now to, I was very lucky to find the source, guys. Let's go to source 10. Okay, and I didn't give you the whole thing, just because I had to type this in, and I was running out of time last night. Okay, so here we go. The Ein Yaakov commentaries are not in the database that I'm aware of, so if I quote them, I had to type in source 7, 9, and 11. And 10, which wasn't so bad, actually. Okay, here we go. I say what I think about typing. Some of you might know that occasionally in WhatsApp I send out notes in Hebrew and not in English. So I have two goals when I do that. One is, I think one of the things we're missing tonight is more Hebrew instruction. So sneak a little Hebrew for the students. But also, I don't know if you guys realize this, Hebrew is a much more concise language than English. So since I stink at typing on the phone in both languages, and I equally stink, it is much faster to do it in Hebrew at that point, because much fewer characters. So guys, you could try this at home also. You see, if you type in Hebrew, you'll save time, assuming you know the words. Otherwise, it doesn't really work. Okay. So let's go to source 10. Again, guys, this is not the riff of Yitzchak Fasi. This is Rav Yoshio Pinto. Let's see what he says. I'll get back to that in a second, actually. Klomar, but look what he says now. This is just great for me. Eini mevatel hadrashot shel kol ha'etin shedarashti. What does he say, black and white? I am not negating all these drashot. Levishio deani, because I know sheyeshli bedrishotam schar. Ukeshem shekibalti schar al kol. This should be otam. I guess the aleph and tet must be next to each other on the keyboard. Al kol, cross out the tet, write an aleph. Al kol otam drashot. Kach al kabel al prishut. Okay, yeah, that shouldn't be there either. Okay, I know that. But in any case, what does the riff say explicitly, though? The riff say explicitly that he did not give up on all the drashot. So, Rav Yishael Pinto apparently had the same instinctive reaction as me. The fact you have one question you can't answer is not reason to give up. Now, he realized himself that this seems to be against the larger context of the Gemara. So the part I didn't type in when I ran out of energy, he wants to say as follows. Maybe there's a difference between how what somebody said and how a later student or authority takes him, which actually I think works very well. If you remember, guys, didn't we start this year that way? If I just read Shimon HaMsuni without the larger context, right, you might say, you could read it as saying, okay, I get a lot of great drush until now, and now I'll take a step back, but not that I'll throw out the rest. The only reason to clearly think you throw out the rest is because the Gemara wanted to use it for somebody else. So the Rif wants to claim that's how somebody else understood Shimon HaMsuni, but not necessarily that was exactly. So you can think it's cheating, but I actually don't think it's cheating. That happens sometimes in life. Shimon HaMsuni said X. Someone understood X to be, you know, X plus one. That's the way I understood it. But the original Shimon HaMsuni was not giving up all his drashot. So at least I do have some rabbinic backing to my theory that if you have a good theory that's working a lot, one counterexample is not a reason to toss the whole thing out the window. Yes, Quincy, just number four.
Will you allow me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because you can't make that drasha, that doesn't mean the drasha doesn't even exist. The theory might still be correct, only you don't have access to that drasha. Or this guy...
Okay, that's just back to what I'm saying. There's no reason to throw it out.
Correct, but there's two ways to throw it out. Either you say it's an actual counterexample and there's no drasha, but the theory works all the rest. Or you can say, no, the theory works, we just haven't worked it out.
Wait, if I say that... If I say one, how come I'm allowed to keep the drasha?
If you say...
I mean, if I'm keeping the drasha, maybe at some level, am I not saying I hope that someday I'll be able to work out that example? Right? I mean, let's ask this question. If some of that example, I don't know how to say this intellectually, but it's definitively against my theory. There's no way it could ever be worked out. Right? Would that not challenge the theory at that point?
You would challenge the theory, but what you would say is, okay, so there's one example that doesn't work, as opposed to... I can't work this out, but somebody might mention it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, anybody else with a comment? Okay, last thing, guys, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, I skipped something in the riff, which I think is crucial, again, when I just talk about our relationship with authority figures. Okay, let's go back to the riff again, the first line. Okay, again, what are we bothered by? Why was this the first pasuk that was difficult? Right, weren't there earlier pasuk created, such as the Hafet, the Shemul Kappa, that should have been difficult for him? Michael! Are you doing something on your phone? What are you doing on your phone?
No,
okay, oh my God. You guys really know how to insult the guy. Okay. I lost out to Twitter? Okay. What? Oh, yeah. Mati, see, you can tell Mati's asleep because he didn't say, oh, he's tweeting with Akiva Nelson's girlfriend. Okay. Mati, you lost it there.
A little bit.
Okay. What?
We got the Gemara share, so something like that.
Okay, take it easy.
Well,
okay.
Watch it.
Yeah, correct. You missed your chance. You had a chance to see it. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. Okay, that's right. Okay. I guess the question is, how many, after you make the comment like eight times, come like in pocket at some point? Okay. All right, so in any case, look what he says here. Of Shigila Pasuk, on the beginning of 10 again, at the Shem Kuro, Lo Darash Ten, why didn't you say the Rabbah Tamid Chacham? That is really clever. As Rav Yoshio Pinto was the hero of the day. Not just because he backs up my theory, but he also did a very good shot. After it says, it's okay, etc. But after it says, Eteshem El Kacha Tira, what are the next two words apparently? What did he just quote? Voto Tavod. And him you should worship. Ah, what is Rav Yoshio Pinto getting at, guys? It's one thing to have reverence for Talmud Chacham, and it's one thing to love a Talmud Chacham. But one thing you can't do is worship a Talmud Chacham. Right, and that's why. So it turns out very interesting. It wasn't the word Yirah that bothered him so much. It was the word Tavod. Therefore, he didn't want to sneak a Talmud Chacham into that drasha. So I think again, Adin. That's interesting. Maybe Rabbi Akiva thinks you could kind of break up the pasuk, right? That the et is only as far as Yirah is concerned, but doesn't get carried over to the. Okay, I don't know what else to say. It's hard for me to say that Rabbi Akiva thought you could worship a Talmud Chacham. Okay, I'd like to believe that was not Rabbi Akiva's position. Okay. Are you Padua? Were you in your clothes today?
Yes.
Okay.
Still a little rainy.
Okay. What's going on outside? In the outdoor, what's going on in the big world out there?
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, so anyone want to comment on this? Okay, now I'll close with this. Yeah, Caleb.
With this like approach that they're referring to, wouldn't also the idea of saying that we're including Torah in general, and this is kind of problematic, say, for worshiping the Torah and not Hashem?
Oh, that's interesting. I just think it's harder to differentiate Torah from God than it, than differentiate a person from God. Okay, let me just close this, and I hope that the Chabadniks room are not insulted. Okay, so we'll see what happens right now. Okay? Yeah, you knew it was coming, right? All right. Okay. So guys, again, I think there's nothing wrong with having rabbinic heroes, right? Every society has heroes. Like, if you're an atheist scientist, you have your scientific heroes. Okay, if you're a philosopher, you have your philosopher heroes. In fact, can I just tell you an interesting thing? You say that everybody does this. Okay, there was a very famous philosopher in the 20th century named Ludwig Wittgenstein. If you ever read any of the biographies of him, it's literally like Gedolim stories. Say, here's what the goal did at this moment in his Austrian whatever. Okay, so you'll see it's not only. Okay, Quincy, have you read any of the biographies?
Yep.
Is what I'm saying correct? Okay, there you go. Okay, so. Okay, well, it's true. I would say they're Gedolim stories of Wittgenstein, but they're kind of like angry Gedolim stories of Wittgenstein. Okay, but in any case, you'll see how they relate to it. Okay, so again, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, but in the rabbinic world, so we can have rabbinic heroes, and please God, you guys should meet rabbis you have great respect for. But again, in religion, there's always a danger of kind of deifying the hero. Right? The hero starts to be the source of admiration more than the Torah ideals or more than God. And that's always a danger to be wary of. So I think some of this sugi actually heads in that direction. Like the Marsha and the Yushalm. I would say three things. First of all, Shimon HaMsuni himself, being reluctant to darshan L'rabba Tamina Chachamim. The Marsha who says that even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's really about the Torah. And the Yushalmi who says explicitly that it's about the Torah and not about the Talmud Chacham. And I think they're all trying to tell us something, yet everyone's wrong. I'll just close these two things. Okay, and again, is not to like be super critical about Chabad and Breslov, but I think those are two groups that sometimes might make a mistake about balancing this. You don't have you insulted by that, or it's okay? Okay, good. Okay, like sometimes you go to a Chabad shul and you feel like it's a big shrine to the Rebbe. In fact, there's a restaurant on the west side of Manhattan, which I believe still exists, called Deli Kasba. At some point, guys, I'm not saying this is not a psak, okay? At some point, my wife and I just couldn't eat there anymore. We felt like, you know, you're benching to the Rebbe there. You're not benching to God. Like, the Rebbe's just saying, isn't there like always like a video of the Rebbe playing again? Yeah.
Love was in New York.
What do you say?
And there's alumni dinner.
See, guys, it turns out that I'm more machmir than Rav Noam. Rav Noam has no problem eating there, and I'm very stringent about it. Okay.
I was in 770, and someone had just left their baby in the pram, just watching a random video. Like, right. They just left their baby there.
Okay, and I'd say you get it a little bit in Breslov too. So I once got a tramp from a Breslov chassid. I really shouldn't criticize him. It's nice that he gave me a tramp. And when I got into the car, he says, Al tishkach sheyesh rabbeinu. Now, you can imagine a religious person saying, Al tishkach sheyesh ribono shel olam. Okay, you understand the Hebrew, right? It's very basic, right? He said to me, Al tishkach sheyesh rabbeinu. So I thought that was kind of idolatrous, actually. All right, guys. Everybody have a great Shabbat.